Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Remember, the quiet ones always have the darkest secrets. It's time to uncover them on Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring former prosecutor and defense attorney Eric Faddis.
We're going to delve in now to the intricate legal proceedings surrounding Dwayne Keefe D. Davis. You might have heard of him if you're following the Tupac case, the sole individual being charged in the 1996 murder of Tupac Shakur. Davis's defense hinges on a 2009 proffer agreement with Los Angeles authorities, which he claims grants him immunity from prosecution. However, Clark County prosecutors argue that such immunity doesn't extend to murder charges, even though they were talking to him about murder charges, especially across state lines. Recently, a judge, Carl Kearney, upheld this view, or Carly, denying Davis's motion to dismiss the charges. To shed light on these legal complexities, we're joined by defense attorney and former prosecutor Eric Faddis. Eric, given your expertise here on both sides of the courtroom, how might the judicial nuances and the specifics of the proffer agreements impact Davis's defense strategy, considering he is saying, you know, this whole time I thought I could talk because I let it out there and I have immunity, which I think also then led him to do interviews, write a book, and put it all out there.
These proffers are precarious, Tony, and I'm always reluctant to go into them, and I only do them when there are very defined parameters and rules in place, for this very reason. Did Keefe D believe that he was getting immunity for the acts that he was talking about, or just for the information he provided during that proffer? Because if he's just getting immunity for that information he provided, and then subsequent information comes out from him outside of the container of this proffer, arguably that subsequent information could lead to some kind of legal action, like new charges. However, if he was promised immunity for the acts about which he was discussing in the proffer, then his defense holds more water that he should have immunity. And so it's really these very fine points that we've got to delve into to decide how to figure this out.
How do they line out a proffer with someone like Keefe D? I don't know all the details of how they ended up having the conversation with him, but it was police that had the conversation and had this proffer agreement in place. Is it like literally a document with legalese on it saying we're not going to go after you? Or is it kind of more of a, hey, we're not going to go after you, tell us what you know?
You know, so often it is the latter. So often it is a, quote, gentleman's agreement, and saying, hey, you tell us all we want to hear, and you're honest with us, and we're not going to go after you. Now, sometimes some lawyers demand something in writing. I always would. But I don't know whether there was such a written document in this case. But it just shows the quagmire that people can get into with these proffer agreements when they think they have an expectation of immunity. And all of a sudden, 15 years later, that might not be the case.
There's so many questions about that. And the judge has already said here, we don't think your proffer agreement stands up to this. Obviously, to his surprise, you can see kind of the shock on his face in court where he thought, I gave you this information, but there's a lot of loopholes there. I guess this is where if you're giving the agreement, you got to talk to your legal counsel. You can't just take the cop's word for it that you're good on saying something like this. Is that accurate?
Oh, Tony, yeah. And it reminds me of, I don't know if you recall those in Los Angeles, there were some kids really who went around and started robbing some celebrities' homes. And one of those kids got an attorney, and the attorney allegedly brokered an agreement with the police saying, hey, he's going to tell you everything about Robin Paris Hilton's home and what he got and everything. And you're going to go easy on him, right? Or you're going to not charge him. And he thought that that was in place. He gave all this information. Lo and behold, he's charged with felony upon felony upon felony. And so these things are just very dangerous from a criminal defense perspective. And you're helping out the government and not always getting what you expect in return.
Are there other agreements? We've seen other things where people flip and people provide information to the government in exchange for immunity. This is not true immunity, is it? What sort of agreement should have been in place to truly protect Keefe D if he was being an informant and explaining to them, look, Orlando Anderson had the gun. I was the one who provided it. And we'll go into the Diddy stuff allegations in a moment. But what should have been in place for him so he couldn't be prosecuted for informing the government of what actually took place?
Here's the thing, Tony. Not only do defendants in that position need something in writing from the investigator, the police, they need something in writing from the prosecutorial entity that could go after them. And so usually how it's done in terms of best practices is you get a document and you have the lead investigator sign it and you have the prosecutor sign it. Now, do you also get the federal prosecutor to sign it? That's less common. But it says, hey, in exchange for providing this information, this client is not going to be charged with anything that regarding what he's discussing. And that should have been in place, should have been signed and really ironclad before you just expose your client and let them talk about all these crimes.
You would think, but I know kind of a lot of things in that world are just kind of, especially in the hip hop world, not necessarily done with a lot of legalese. Although, you know, Diddy, he had the non-disclosures. He knew what was going on at his parties of his sign this and we're good. At least so he thought. Which brings us to the other point in this discussion is the now 180 page, I believe, document that outlines that conversation that Keefe D had with authorities all those years ago. Diddy's name comes up a lot. I've seen anywhere from 40 sometimes to 60 sometimes. It's somewhere in there. Now, of course, that doesn't mean he's guilty of anything. Diddy has never been charged with any sort of crime involving the murder of Tupac Shakur. These are allegations that Keefe D was making. Keefe D, however, made these allegations back in 2009, well before he was charged with any sort of crime in this. So it's not like, oh, shoot, I'm under investigation and I'm being charged with murder. I better come up with somebody else. He's been saying this for quite a long time. A lot of people have been saying this for quite a long time. And now these documents have been put into evidence, meaning it's not just out there on the street and just his words. They're literally in the case. So that being now introduced with the name Diddy introduced into the case, what does that mean for Diddy? Again, these are just allegations coming from Keefe D, but it is now we have someone implicating him in a court of being involved of ordering this hit on Tupac in 1996.
Yeah, I mean, there's no secret that there was an East Coast, West Coast rap beef going on at that time. There's no secret that Diddy and Tupac were central players in that and that they had some hostile interactions. And so surely if Diddy is implicated in a way that has sufficient evidence to bring legal action against him, that there's no statute of limitations on murder. Diddy can't outrun this by the passage of time. So he would be charged if there was such sufficient evidence. That being said, QPD has some credibility issues in this case and just generally. Yeah. And so the prosecutor has to weigh that and decide, hey, are we going to hang our hat on QPD's statement, or are we going to try to corroborate this with additional stuff?
But the fact that they're throwing it in now, does that tell you that they've already kind of made up their mind on what direction they're going to go with this, that they're going to run down this road, that yes, Keefe was involved. He's already admitted he was involved. That's, I think they're really arguing that point of it. Orlando Anderson was the shooter. Keefe gave the gun, but it was more of a hit than it was Keefe wanting to go kill Tupac for the hell of it. It was allegedly a hit, a gang hit that was coordinated by Diddy in response to the diss track Hit 'Em Up that Tupac released shortly before his death. With that being said, and that all being put out there, how are they going to weigh this in court? What sort of weight does any of this have of saying, you know, Diddy made this hit? If they're going to try and argue it as fact with something that has never been prosecuted, something that's never been charged, is that going to hold up in court? Can they introduce that? I mean, it's in evidence now. So is this going to be an attempted strategy, the fact that they've introduced it the way that they have?
You know, Diddy is certainly kind of the villain du jour of the time. Yeah. And it's easy to want to pin stuff on him. And perhaps the government in California, who has been hard-pressed to solve this crime, has had a lot of pressure on them to make a move, to do something, to hold somebody responsible. You know, they're still endeavoring to do that. And so are they going to go after Diddy? Maybe. But you know, would the response possibly be, hey man, it's been like 30 years or something. And, you know, couldn't you have done this when you had the information in 2009? There's just a lot of questions about like why they would slow play it and how that, and sort of the public's reaction to those measures.
I guess that's the other question. Why? This has been in existence since 2009. Why now? Why now are they going after Keefe D, who made these allegations to the officers all those years ago, to investigators, and then wrote a book, went on many, many shows talking about his own involvement in all of this? Why now? I mean, why are we doing all of this? I mean, this should have probably been done 25 years ago or even longer. This stuff is not necessarily new information that's come to light.
It's not, and I don't know the answer, but is one possible answer that there is all this sort of, you know, negative attention towards Diddy, and he's kind of an easy target to go after right now? Or you know, did California look at this back in 2010 and say, gosh, you know, we just have this gang member saying Diddy asked him to do this, we're not going to go after him? But now, and since Diddy is this sort of societally viewed monster, does that sort of grease the wheels a little bit to go in that direction at this point in time? It might.
Is that what you think maybe happened back then in the 90s, that they looked at this case going, oh, it's another thug rapper and they got shot and it's some sort of beef between two gangs, and just kind of writing it off, not assuming there's more to it, which there usually is. But we know historically cases like this, especially if you're not famous, there's no investigation or very, very little. It is written off as just that, gang violence, gang related. Case closed. It was a beef from this person to that person. We don't need to investigate it further. Obviously, there's a little bit more in this case, but I'm wondering if they just kind of treated it like your average run-of-the-mill gang violence.
Especially in the 90s, that there was really that sentiment. As difficult as it may be to hear, I think different deaths were treated differently, and some circumstances that involved gang violence and shootings, I think cops in some locales were a bit exasperated by all of that and just said, hey, this keeps happening, and those are we're going to give less attention to those than we are deaths that do not involve that kind of a context, that sort of gang shoot 'em up context. And that could very well have led to such a delay in truly addressing this case and trying to find who's responsible.
Let me get your reaction to this. And this is a fairly new thing as we're recording. Sean Diddy Combs filing a $50 million lawsuit now against Courtney Burgess, as well as one of the alleged victims who testified to a grand jury about this hard drive or this flash drive that Courtney claims that he has or that he turned over to federal authorities. This is what he claims. Diddy now suing for $50 million against him, the witness, the attorney, and News Nation as well for broadcasting the story and broadcasting the interviews that they had with Courtney and this alleged victim of Diddy. You know, it's out there. We've been talking about this on this show, too, for quite a while, these allegations against him. Courtney came out and said that he was interviewed by the grand jury. In fact, like the day after there was more grand jury testimony, went on News Nation and said, I was questioned, saying, here's what I gave them. I found that kind of surprising right away that a grand jury, someone who's giving testimony is like, out there talking about it right away. How do we know? I mean, I guess that's a question for News Nation to a certain extent of, you know, how do we determine if he ever even gave grand jury testimony and if this hard drive is even real? Because Diddy is saying this isn't real and he has the gumption enough to try and sue for $50 million. That could open up more discovery in another part of the case. I'm thinking if it's not real, it may not be real. Otherwise, he's opening himself up to another ball of worms in discovery, trying to prove that this stuff is, in fact, real, if it is.
Oh, Gus, you know, just another possible layer of this saga is revealed. Like, it just keeps going and snowballing. You know, here, certainly News Nation has to do their due diligence in vetting their interviewees, making sure that information is accurate and that they're not just putting out garbage out there. Mm-hmm. And I don't know whether it's true or not, but I do think it is important for Diddy to go on the offensive here a little bit, just from a legal strategy standpoint. You know, he has taken so many, you know, punches to the face in this ongoing legal saga that he's got to start dealing out a few blows. And if he believes that inaccurate information was presented against him and has caused him some serious reputational losses, then he should pursue that, and he is.
Let's play devil's advocate for a second here. Let's say this flash drive really does exist. Let's say he did submit it to the feds, and it's out there. We're not going to know about it. The feds are never going to say, yes, we talked to him, and he gave us this. That's not going to come out until an actual trial. What exactly would be the strategy if again, hypothetical, if Diddy knows that this is true, to go after and out here claim a $50 million lawsuit saying it's all false? Is there any advantage to that other than he's striking back in what looks like a really strong way in the middle of all of these allegations? Or is this kind of a really dumb move where the repercussions of throwing this out there long term not going to be great?
Yes, I mean, he might, if it is true what this person said to the that they did testify to the grand jury and they did give that flash drive to authorities, and Diddy is just saying that they didn't in this lawsuit, there might be some sort of brief optics benefit from that, but it's going to look horrible later on if it comes out that what Diddy is claiming is untrue. He's going to look even more deceptive, even more nefarious, and it's going to look like he's abusing the system, which he's been accused of in terms of witness and victim intimidation.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many things here where you play the short game, long game. I don't know that you can do both at the same time or manage it very well. But I get it. Like, if you are accused of all these horrible things, the litany of the list is huge. You have to imagine some of these are probably made up, but when you have this many, you got to assume, you know, there's probably some truth to some of it somewhere. But to go out swinging against ones that are not legit, is that a wise move at this time? I mean, considering just how quickly society is out there ready to judge anybody who is, quote unquote, blaming a victim. And we don't know if this person is a victim because it's never been tried in court. It's just one person's word against somebody else's. Is this a wise move?
If Diddy knows that what he's presenting is untrue in this sort of legal artifice, not only is it unwise, but it's unethical of the attorney who is pursuing this on Diddy's behalf. That attorney has a responsibility to investigate and vet what Diddy is saying. You know what? They need to go and try to learn whether this person actually testified to a grand jury. To try to learn whether such a flash drive exists and whether it could have been given to authorities. And I've got to hope that his attorney has done that kind of due diligence. But if they haven't, not only is Diddy's liberty in question, but the attorney's license could be in jeopardy.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
You're neck deep in a dark, twisted tale. And just as the tension peaks, bam, a commercial about some miracle diet pill breaks the spell. It's like finding a fly in your soup after the first bite. But here's the fix. True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. You get to enjoy your crime stories without the junk. Ad-free episodes, extended interviews that go beyond the surface, and early access to all the gruesome details. It's like swapping out a can of cheap beer for a glass of fine whiskey. So search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and keep the darkness flowing uninterrupted.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boost and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Normally in these ads, you'd expect someone like me to ask you to buy something. But I want to ask you to do something different. I'm Dave Farenthold, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm an investigative reporter, which means that I follow the money, inside of government and outside of government. The point of my job is to find things people are trying to hide. It involves talking to lots of people. It involves looking through lots and lots of documents. And if there weren't folks like me to go beyond the surface to understand who is really shaping what the government does, the public would be left in the dark about what the government's doing with your tax money, what the government's doing to you through regulations and spending. If you're like me and you think this kind of journalism is important, seek out a news source that does firsthand, fact-based reporting. If that's the New York Times, thank you. If that's your local paper, that's great too, because where you get your information matters.
Out at McDonald's, te puedes llevar un $5 McChicken meal deal o un $6 McDouble meal deal. Así, hay algo para todos. Llévate más por tu dinero con tu meal deal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. On the track, my car's look is everything. But today, I'm talking about more than just paint schemes. I'm talking about my favorite games at Chumba Casino. Check out exclusives like Stampede Fury and my own King Croc Fury. It's just as wild as my car looked in Texas. With over 200 games and new ones weekly, play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.